following life groups. I'm staying a week behind life groups. And we're using as a text how to live your life on purpose, discover your calling and how you can fulfill it by Art Sepulveda. Now, I've had some people ask me about, do we have any more books? No, we don't. These are going out of print. In fact, we bought the last 65 of them that are in print that Harrison House has. There are some available if you would like to get a copy on Amazon.com. There are people who have used ones. We bought one. We bought a couple of them for about $3 plus $4 shipping. It costs more to get it shipped than it costs for the book. This book retails for about $14 or something like that. We got them to you for $5, so we got a good deal on them. But this is a great book. This really is a good book. And we've already talked about value the vision. Value the power of the vision. Let me see. Develop the ways of a winner. And tonight we're going to talk about thinking right about yourself. Thinking right about yourself. This is right down our alley because this is one of the things that we have talked a lot about in this church. Because we teach the faith message. And the faith message has to do with learning to think right and to speak right. So, but it begins with thinking. You got to change the way that you think. If you're going to be successful in anything that you do, you have to change the way that you think. If you think failure, you're going to do that. Your tongue is a rudder. Your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. And you turn the course of your life with the words of your mouth. Well, the words of your mouth are a reflection of what's in your heart. So if you don't like what's coming out your mouth, you need to change the things that's in your heart. And there's only one way to change the things that are in your heart. You're going to have to renew your mind to the Word of God. I love this John Maxwell quote. It's not what you think, it's not who you think you are that holds you back, it's who you think you're not. I'll say that again. It's not who you think you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not. Most people have negative self-images. And there may be good reason that a lot of people have negative self-images. Maybe we've messed up. Maybe we've screwed up. But that has nothing to do with God's plan for our life. If we can learn to concentrate on the way that God sees us, and that's what this whole thing is about, is learning to see yourself the way that God sees you. When you begin to see yourself the way that God sees you, it will change your entire perspective on the way that you live your life. There's not anything in your life that you cannot overcome. Not anything that you can't overcome. People have overcome fatal diseases. People have overcome horrible habits. People have overcome anything that you can imagine, and it has to do with faith in God. But faith is in the heart, and it's in the mouth. It's in the heart, it's in the mouth. It says in Romans, what does it say? The Word is nigh you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That's the Word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's in Romans 10:8 through 10, 11, or 12, somewhere in there. So it's not who you think you are that holds you back, it's who you think you're not. We all have a ceiling in our life. And one of the ceilings that we have in our life is the way that we view ourselves. The self-image is what you think about yourself. Let me ask you a question. And don't answer this out loud. Answer this to yourself. And answer it honestly. Do you like yourself? Do you like yourself? You know what? When we don't like ourselves, we're sending God the message that we don't believe that He knew what He was doing when He made us. Now, you may not like what you've become, but you need to learn to like yourself. And that's something that we have to work on. It's really something that we have to work on. And if we see things from our perspective, I understand why we don't like what we see sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't like ourselves. Too tall, too short, too fat, too skinny. Straight hair, curly hair. No hair, too much hair. Big feet, little feet. Big nose, little nose. Average, unique. Tall, short. I mean, there's so many things that we don't like about ourselves. You know, one thing I've noticed that people who have curly hair, they go and they get their hair straightened. My wife has the straightest hair of any person that I've ever seen. She'll spend all kinds of time in front of the—I'm going to get in trouble—in front of the mirror with that curling iron, and she'll curl her hair. And 10 minutes later, it's just as straight as it can be. She's not happy with her straight hair. Some folks are not happy with their curly—I'm not going to call any names—but they're not happy with their curly. They're curly hair. We just don't seem to be happy. We don't like the way that we're made. And I think sometimes we're sending God the message that we don't believe that He knew what He was doing when He made us. We're all unique. And so one of the things that we need to learn how to do is to dump the junk. Dump the junk. Now, we all need to be improving our lives. God gave us our basic design and we've all screwed up. But if your mind is always on your screw-ups, you're going to screw up some more. You're going to screw up more and more and more and more. We need to get out of the negative and we need to get into the positive. We need to quit seeing ourselves through our own eyes and we need to start seeing ourselves through God's eyes. So we got to dump the junk. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make junk. So things like failure and rejection and words like stupid, ugly, clumsy, unworthy, inadequate, unlovable, these are the things that we need to get out of our vocabulary about ourselves. I'm so ugly. I'm so unworthy. Honestly, we're all unworthy on our own merit. But God does not see us as unworthy. He sees us worthy in Jesus. Okay? He sees us in Jesus. And if we can learn to see ourselves in Jesus and see ourselves through that light, we're going to start rising up out of the junk that we've created in our lives. All the negative attitudes, the negative habits, all of those things that we see about ourselves, we're going to start to accept ourselves for the way that we are. I did not like myself for so long. How can anybody else like you if you don't like yourself? And I've seen people who really don't like themselves, but they try so hard to be liked, and they're hard to like because they don't like themselves. Learning to accept ourselves is a very big thing. So, right thinking thinks spiritually. The way that God thinks. Right thinking. There's right thinking and there's wrong thinking. And we're going to talk about those tonight. There's right thinking. Right thinking is what? Thinking the way that God thinks about us. About things. I like Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's another place he says, you know what? I know the plans that I have for you, says God. It's a good plan. You know, and he goes on to say, it's a plan to bless you. God wants to bless us. And the biggest hindrance to Him doing what He wants to do in our lives is the person that we look at every time we look in the mirror. And a lot of it has to do with the way that we see ourselves. Okay? So wrong thinking is thinking unspiritual or it's warped thinking. Isaiah 47:10 says, For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray, and you said in your heart and mind, I am, and there is no one besides me. So there's what we call the illusion of knowledge. Wrong thinking is an illusion of knowledge. The way that we perceive ourselves many times is inaccurate. It is an illusion. And there, you know, there's all kinds of ways. Maybe that you think that the only way that you can do something is the way that it's always been done. That's illusional thinking. That's an illusion of knowledge. And this, honestly, this is why a lot of churches don't grow. Because they think that the only way to do something is the way that it's always been done. That's an illusion. There are people who think that they already know enough, that they don't need to learn anymore, or that they already know all that there is to know about something. You ever seen a know-it-all? You're talking about somebody that goes around in an illusion of knowledge. The quote that's in the book, it says, the greatest obstacle to fresh discovery is not ignorance, it's the illusion of knowledge. It's the illusion of knowledge. There are some people that you cannot tell anything because they already know it. They already think they know it. Or they think that they have a mindset, and they think in that mindset, and they don't think outside of that mindset at all. And that's the way they live their life. That's the way they perceive themselves. And whatever it is that they perceive, that has to be a fact. Yeah, teenagers. Yeah, you're talking about illusion. Oh my. It's amazing how teenagers have all the answers. Remember when you were a teenager and you had all the answers? You're talking about a dream world, an illusion world. That's something else. I want to read some. I love this story that's in the book, and I want to read it to you. It's about 2 pages long. This is the story called The Box of Destiny. Oh, I love this story. I want to preach a message on this. In fact, I may do it tonight. B.P. Berkland was a successful businessman in Seattle, Washington. He once sold the property on which the Seattle Space Needle now stands. Has anybody ever been in that? I went in there one time when I was 13 years old. Scared me bad. The elevators are made of plexiglass. Floors, everything, and you're going up like this, and you're, you know, it's clear under you, and it's 720 something feet tall. I mean, the cars are that big when you get to the top, and you're talking about a 12, 13 year old kid. You're talking about drawed up. I mean, I was scared. Okay, BP shattered his limitations in his life by thinking right about himself, seeing the vision that God had for him, and reaching through overcoming limitations in order to be what he believed he could be. At the young age of 6 or 7 years old, BP contracted polio, a dreadful disease for which there was no treatment at that time. Within a few months, his body had become massively deformed and crippled, shriveling up and becoming useless. His family believed in God and in the Bible, but like many Christians, they never expected their prayers to be answered. Their faith wasn't strong enough to overcome what they saw the polio had done to BP's body. Now listen to this. BP's parents didn't know what to do with him. They placed him in a wooden box on the floor, and his mother would drag him from room to room throughout the day as she went about her housework. Sometimes she placed a mirror on the floor in front of him so he could entertain himself while he sat in his box. One day, BP sat in front of his mirror and really saw himself. He had a vision. BP saw himself running. Jesus appeared to him and told him that he would be healed and that he would be able to walk and run. The key was that BP saw himself walking and running and completely healed. He captured that vision in his heart. From that day on, BP started rocking his box, trying to shatter the physical limitations put on him by the disease, the emotional limitations put on him by the doctors and his family. There's not only just physical limitations, but sometimes they're emotional. The way that we see ourselves. You can imagine the devastation that polio had on his body, and he could just see himself living in that box the rest of his life. God had something better, though. Whoo! From that day on, BP started rocking his box, trying to shatter the physical limitations put on him by the disease, the emotional limitations put on him by the doctors and his family, and the limitations of a victimized individual. He was still crippled. He still couldn't walk. His legs were useless, but he rocked his box back and forth until he would fall over. Then he would crawl out of his box on his hands and elbows and start scooting across the floor. His mother would see him and say, now look at this, BP, get back in your box. You know what drugs and alcohol does to you sometimes? Get back in your box. You know what church people do sometimes? They say, you can't do that. Get back in your box. You know what people do to you in your calling or in your profession sometimes? That can't be done in this. Get back in your box. This will preach. I better quit. I might want to preach this on Sunday morning sometimes. She would pick him up and put him back in that box, but BP wouldn't stay there. All day long, he would rock his box. Every once in a while, it would fall over and he'd start crawling. BP had a vision of getting out of his box. For months, BP kept rocking his box until he'd fall over and then he'd scoot. Pretty soon, he could scoot faster than his mom could catch him. Before long, he started scooting over to a chair, pulling himself up, trying to get his legs under him, and then fall. It wasn't easy. Day after day, week after week, month after month, BP rocked his box and scooted until as a teenager, he began to walk and then run. As a young man, he lived without limitations. Isn't that a good story? What's keeping you in your box? See, a lot of it has to do with the way that we see ourselves. We don't have a vision of what God has for our lives. And that's what this whole book is about. How to live your life on purpose. Discovering your calling and how you can fulfill it. So what we need to learn to be is a no-limit person. We don't need to be limited by our box. Your box may be education. Lack of education. Your box may be being raised in a dysfunctional family. Your box could be anything. It could just be your own insecurity that you have in your life. And your circumstances screaming at you, shut up and get back in your box. You'll never amount to anything. But see, God has got something for us that's a whole lot bigger than the box. I'm convinced. Because I think church all the time. I think about this body of believers. I think God has got something a whole lot bigger for us than we see right now, than this box that we're living in right now. Now, we've gotten outside of some of our boxes, but I tell you what, there's some other things that we got to get out, got to rock and get out of. And sometimes it takes a while to get out where you can rock and get out and get your feet under you and walk and run and be without limitations. I want to be a church without limitations. You know, they say you can't grow a big church in Batesville, Arkansas. This is kind of a backward, non-progressive area that we live in. You know, that may be true, but that don't mean that we have to be that way. We can be progressive in our thinking. We can be progressive in what we do if we'll just learn to see ourselves the way that God sees us and learn to think right, because what you think is what you speak, and what you speak is what you do, and what you do is what you become. Right thinking about yourself pleases God and can only be accomplished in faith, thinking His thoughts and not yours. It's thinking higher than your circumstances or your problems. If you think according to what you see all the time, you're thinking only inside the box of your present situation or your circumstance. And if that's the way that you think, you'll always live inside your box. You have to think beyond the box. Andy Stanley and Ed Young Jr. wrote a book. Now, these guys are Baptists, but you never know it. I said that on the internet, didn't I? Well, you know, they're not traditional Baptists. Let me say it that way. And they wrote a book called Can We Do That? It's a pretty awesome little book. And they talked about different things that they do in their church that's outside the box. And the name of the book is Can We Do That? And the answer is yes. If we stay true to the Word of God, there's a whole lot that we can do that's non-traditional, that works, that can produce results. And if you'll think outside your box, in your profession, in your life, whatever it is, in your family, in your circumstance, in your situation, there's nothing that can keep you down. It's impossible to perform consistently in a manner inconsistent with the way in which you see yourself. In other words, if you see yourself, you have to see yourself as an overcomer and not a failure. If you see yourself as a failure, you'll never be an overcomer. How you see yourself is what you'll do. Philippians 4:13 says this, and I love this verse of Scripture. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Should we be held down by the economy? No, absolutely not. Can your business be blessed in hard times? You know, you read the story of Isaac, and during a time of famine, it says that he sowed in the land in the same year, received 100-fold. We're not limited by what limits the world. And a lot of times we see ourselves as limited by what limits the world, and we're not limited by that. We're only limited by the way that we see things. Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about seeing yourself in Christ. There is nothing that ever happens in your life that sneaks up on God. He didn't look down and say, "Uh-oh, I didn't anticipate this recession. What are we going to do? I guess we're going to have to cut back in heaven." He's already got it figured out. He anticipated it. Nothing sneaks up on Him. And there's nothing that happens in your life that ever sneaks up on God. And so we have to be in a trust situation with God, knowing that He has our solution. We need the wisdom to find out what that solution is, and that solution is found in God's Word, isn't it? You are what you think you are. Now there's limits to that. I mean, I could think I'm Superman. But don't shoot me, okay? Your thinking determines your level of success. Your thinking determines your level of success. So we need to let truth shape you and to make you. It says in John 8:31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you abide in My Word, hold fast to My teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You want to be free? It's only going to be through the Word. It's God's way. It's not our way. It's not what we think about it. It's what God says about it. We think goofy. Till we begin to think God's thoughts, we think goofy. When we begin to think God's thoughts, the world begins to think that we're a little bit goofy. You know why? Because they don't think that way. You know, the world says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I mean, you talk about sowing and famine, and the world thinks that's crazy. You got to save. You got to get all you can all you get, and set on the can. No, you're cutting off your resources that way. So right thinking is truth. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what God says about you, that you're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Who are you? Are you saved? You're the righteousness of God in Him. That's the way that God sees you. How do you need to see yourself? You need to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Him. Okay? Now, if you need to clean things up, clean it up. Clean your life up. Don't live in sin. But God sees you as the righteousness of God in Him. Then it says in Romans 12:2, and this is the whole key, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is changing the way that you think, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know what that prove means? It doesn't mean to be able to show them in the Bible. It means you prove it in your life. It becomes a reality in the way that you live your life. You prove it in your lifestyle. You know, when they talk about proving a weapon, maybe a sword, I think about in Roman times where it said they had to prove the sword. Well, they had to get to where they were good with it. They had to take their instrument and be good with it. And you need to take the instrument of the Word of God and put it in your heart. And you need to prove it in your life that you're walking in it and living in it. And it proves not only to you that it's real, but everyone around you sees that it's so. So how do we do that? We need to be filled with the Word daily. You will never arrive in this life. You're never going to know everything that you need to know. You're never going to be so smart that you need to come to the place where you quit learning. I hope on the day that I go to be with the Lord that I learn something that day. I want to be learning. And we need to have a learning attitude. And this is one of the big problems with most Christians. They get complacent in their lifestyle and they quit learning. When you quit learning, you quit growing. And you become stagnant. And there are several ways that we grow. We study, but we also do the Word. And we also give of ourselves and all of those kind of things. Then we need to get wisdom. We don't need just to have knowledge, because wisdom is the life of knowledge. Wisdom is using knowledge correctly. There's a lot of people who know the Word and they kill people with it. Okay? They absolutely know the Word. They can't prove any of it in their life. They don't live in it. They don't walk in it. But wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge correctly. Wisdom is something that is evident in your life. So where is the battlefield? Where do we fight these battles? It's in the mind. It's not in the heavenlies. It's not out here. It's in the mind. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, and then we got to quit. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now look at this. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not every thought that comes through your mind is a good thought. Sometimes you have to capture those thoughts and you have to bring them into the obedience of Christ, to His Word. If you don't know His Word, then you're easy prey for the devil. Honestly, and most Christians are easy prey for the devil because they don't know the Word. They don't spend any time in the Word. You know what? And it's easy as a Christian to get caught up, and I've done this, get so caught up in doing the work of the church that you neglect your word time. I can study to preach, but there's times I need to study just for me. Because the enemy attacks me. He attacks my mind. And if I don't put anything in me for me, I'm easy prey for the enemy. You don't overcome because you're a preacher. You overcome because I overcome the same way that you do. It's through the Word. And it's so easy to get caught up in being a Christian and being a part of a church and life and everything else that you neglect your own spiritual welfare. Listen, you can't afford to do that. You'll never live life on purpose, and you'll never discover what you're supposed to do, and you'll never be what you're supposed to be for the kingdom of God. All right, we got to stop. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for the picture that you've given us of ourselves through your word. And Father God, I pray that you would give us a heart to discover that so that we could get outside the box that life, the world, the devil and the flesh has tried to make us fit in. And Lord, that we could rock our box and get outside of it and do great things for you and bring glory to your name. We thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.